Have you ever been to PMA rally? You know, they are big, high energy, and business people from all of the cities will show up. And I read about one just recently that 5,000 business people were there. They were all pumped up and being motivated. And one of the speakers got up and said, "Let me ask you a question. If this evening you went home and found out that you had a rich relative that left you $10 million, would you go to work tomorrow?" And there was a resounding response from the 5,000 people that said, what?
No.
You're exactly right. No, no. I thought about that, especially when I read the Gallup poll says that 77% of Americans hate their job. Ouch. That's a terrible way to live. 77% hate their job. Would you be part of that? Also, I read where that 70% of American Christian churchgoers don't see how their work serves God's purposes any whatsoever. So there's a big divide between the work world and the church world. Dorothy Sayers said nearly a century ago, she could read it on the horizon. I'm going to quote some of what she said because I think she was so on target. Listen to this. "And nothing has the church so lost her hold on reality is her failure to understand and respect the secular world." There's been a divide come in there. She has allowed work and religion to become separate departments and is astonished to find that as a result, the secular world is turned to purely selfish, destructive ends, and that the greater part of the world's intelligent world workers have become irreligious or at least uninterested in religion. But is that astonishing that they'd have that kind of feeling? How can anyone remain interested in religion that seems to have no concern with 9/10 of his life, a major part of our life? Why would anyone be interested in religion if there's that kind of separation? Well, what does the Bible say about work anyway? What I wanted to do this morning, since Labor Day weekend, I want us to think about what is the biblical view. What does the Bible teach us about work? Let me ask you this. I have asked this a number of times. If you were to describe God in one word, what are the one words that come to mind? God is, say one of them. God, yeah, God is love. What else? God is merciful. Is what?
Faithful.
God is
unchanging.
All powerful. Forgiving. Awesome. Is what?
Righteous.
There's one word that hardly ever comes to our mind when we think God is. I could go on quite a while waiting to see if you get it right or not. God is. You know, he's all of these things that is true, but God is. God is.
Working.
God is a worker. Isn't it interesting that we never see him as a worker? Do you have some sort of image that God's sitting on the cloud calling the instructions, you know, but not working? Or on the throne and not working? The Bible teaches us that God is a worker. Look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. It said, "And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done." Not only that, but Jesus echoed that same thing. One time that it was on the Sabbath day, and the Jews had very strict laws about what you could do and could not do on the Sabbath. And it was against their law to work. And Jesus, on the Sabbath day, healed this man that could not walk and said, pick up your mat that he was laying on and walk. Well, they looked at his healing that man as work, and they looked at that man carrying his mat as work. And they were persecuting Jesus because of what he had done on the Sabbath day. What was Jesus' reply to them? Look at what Jesus said to them, Matthew or John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now. He's working into now, and I am working. God is a God that is at work, not just in the creation of the world, but the sustaining of all the universe. He is working at this very moment. And Jesus said, I am too. I am working. I am working at this point right now. God created, and now God sustains, and he works, and he works. Let me ask you this. Do you live to work or work to live? Do you live to work or work to live? How do you feel about work? Let me go back to what Dorothy Sayers says. She says work is not primarily a thing one does to live, but a thing one lives to do. It is or should be the full expression of a worker's faculties, the thing in which he finds spiritual, mental, bodily satisfaction, and a medium in which he offers himself to God. What an attitude when we begin to see now the gap closing here and coming together of work and worship, of Sunday and Monday, biblically coming together. You know, it doesn't take you long to see people if they work because they got to or get to. When you go to work this week, do you do that as, oh, I got to do this, or do you get to do this? You know, back in the 80s, I really crumbled because I had a lot of have-tos, ought-tos in my thinking. And when I do something, I got to do this. And I found it drained my energy. I went into deep depression when I wasn't able to go to the church for quite a while. And I began to realize a lot of that is just the way that I was thinking. I wasn't thinking that I get to, I got to. I'm here today because I get to. I'm not paid to do this. I'm volunteer. My wife's a volunteer. And we after I wake up on Sunday morning, I realize I get to do this. It takes me a while to get there, but I get to do this. I get to do this. I get to do this. And I love, there's something about, there's energy when you do what you get to do. It's very energy draining if you got to. You know, you can tell when somebody's helping you in any way that they're doing that because they got to or get to. We went to a Mexican restaurant, which is not all that rare. And this young guy that took care of us, when we walked in, we knew him. And in fact, he had been in another Mexican restaurant and was over the one we went to this week. And so he met us there, and his arms open wide, you know, and to greet us. And he was so excited, and we were glad to see him. We sat there and talked for a moment. And then on our way out, Charlie was asking a little bit about what he does, you know, and this is sort of a side job for him. But he's supervisor of a job now, and he loves it. And you could just tell as he would talk about it, he didn't get to that supervisory role real by chance. He did that because he loved the job. In fact, he said, you know, when I leave here tonight, I'm going to go back by the job and just check to make sure everybody's making it all right. He didn't have to do that. He gets to do that. There's a tremendous difference in working because you feel like you get to. And that's what Dorothy Sayers was saying. It's an offering. It's what we offer to God. So God is a worker, but God has made us as also workers. Look on in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to drink fruit juice and eat fruit and sit in a land, a hammock and all that. No, why does it say? To work and to keep it. Let me remind you, that was before sin ever entered into the world. This was paradise. They were working and it was paradise. They were working and it was a perfect world. They were working and there was no sin abounding. They were working. God not only is a worker, He created us to work. Now, of course, sin, when it entered, made work more difficult. Looking on in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." What did He curse? He did not curse work. He cursed the ground. In other words, work became more difficult. And we in our frail bodies find it difficult because we get tired. But in the idea that Jesus is saying here, the curse is not upon work. He goes on in verse 18. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. Well, I knew that when I was a kid, that it was a curse. When a dad would send me out, have you ever had to cut thistle? It is a curse. I mean, the ground and the thistle, the curse. And I knew that. It makes it more difficult. But work itself is a get to. It's a gift that God gives us. And now we're going to turn the corner here and see that not only is God a worker and He's created us to work and it is a gift to us, we begin now to see how worship and work come together. Perhaps you've never looked at work and worship. Could be one and the same. Any kind of work that's a legitimate work comes together with worship. Let me show you something. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 again. The Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to, what was that word? Work and keep it. Now in Exodus, when God was given the Ten Commandments, He said, 6 days thou shalt work. That's a different word than here. That word in Hebrew is a work of activity. But here, it is a Hebrew word, abod. A-B-O-D. Abod. Abod. What does that mean? You know, one of the best commentaries on the Bible is the Bible itself. So sometimes when you're not sure what a word might mean, you look and see how it is translated in other parts and how it's used in other parts of the Bible. Let me give an example. Look at Psalm 100. And in verse 2 it says, serve or work. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Serve. Serve. That's from the New American Standard Bible. How does the New International translate that? Take a look. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Isn't that interesting? Synonymous. That's just one example. Throughout all the Bible, you'll find that sometimes the word is used as worship, sometimes it is used as work. They come together as one. Have you ever thought about your work that way? That's the way that God has designed that work is to be a part of worship. It is a sacred thing, a sacred privilege that God has gives us to work. It helps develop us as a human being. It helps us grow. It helps us become what we'd never become without working. I probably found my greatest understanding of this biblical view of work by just simply watching my dad. He loved to work. In fact, when he was in his 80s, he decided to build a trailer court. He had a well drilled, put in the infrastructure of the water and the sewer. Now keep in mind, he's 80-some years old. And then he starts buying, and he called it a trailer court. It's kind of a junky place, really. But anyway, he bought used trailers and brought in there and got them all hooked up. And the reason why he did that, he said, you know, son, there's a lot of people that can't even afford to rent a house, and they need some place to live. And I can rent these trailers to them at a much lower cost, which he did. Most everyone, were they appreciative of that? Most of them that moved out trashed it. He'd go in, take the carpet out, put new carpet in. You know what he did with the old carpet? He carpeted his garden. Really did. He put down a soaker hose and he put down the carpet there and didn't have to worry about the weeds. And all when he's 80 years old, you know, when he was 90, he was still putting out that garden. And the year before he died, the year that he died, he's thinking about what he's going to put out. And the next year he died in January. But he was still working. He'd get up at 4 o'clock. I've told you this before. He'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go out and work in the garden. Of course, 8 o'clock, he went back and took a nap. But 4 o'clock, he was out there working. And he loved it. I've heard him say more than once, he said, you know, I don't understand these old people around here that doesn't work. They just sit around. He had life and he wanted to do it and working. And most of those days, you know, when he was 80s or so, it was things that he could do in working that would help somebody else in some way. He was a clockmaker. He made grandfather clocks and grandmother clocks and steeple clocks and wall clocks and school clocks. And then he began to repair clocks, and people would bring their clocks to them, and he'd charge them maybe nothing to rebuild gears and all that. And he just every day was getting up to work, because he saw it as a sacred thing that God has given us ability to work. Here's what Paul Heim, Paul Helm is a seminary professor, said, work is a part of a Christian's calling. Work is a part of a Christian's calling. Any legitimate work that is moral can be a calling. And when it turns into a calling, it's something you get to do, not got to. Look at what happens if some way when you go, whatever you're going to do this week, you go to work. It can be in a marketplace. It can be your own business. It can be school. It can be a stay-at-home mom with preschoolers. I'm convinced that the hardest job on planet Earth is a mom home with preschoolers. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of fortitude to say, I get to do this. Right, I got to do this. Well, they can leave a mess, can't they? And I get to do this. It's a sacred thing, really, that God has given us when we begin to understand that Sunday, most of you came here today on a Sunday to worship. This week, you'll go to the marketplace to work and what? Have you ever noticed that you think of coming to church as going to worship? Going to work on Monday is also an opportunity to worship. When you begin to see your work and your worship coming together, that is the way that God has designed it. And so when we work, whatever it is, when you're doing your schoolwork, you do the schoolwork, and as you do that, you do it the very best that you can and say, God, I'm offering this to you as a work. You go to your employer, go to work, whatever you're doing, and you take that time and you say, I make this as often as you. It may be some work you don't even really care that much about doing. Because there will be work that is like that. But I found, when I was in college, I worked for a delivery truck delivering produce and went to work, I think, at 4:30, 5 o'clock, somewhere in the morning. And I thought it was going to kill me at first. But then I began to realize what God wanted to do through me, and I learned a lot. In fact, I learned a new language by a lot of those workers around there that I'd never heard before in all my life. And I learned how to work with some very challenging people. And I began to see that this is a great way to offer work to the Lord. And believe it or not, I got where I liked going to that job. Because I began to see it as a way of, now I was a pastor of a little country church, and I was working there. When you can bring those two together to worship the Lord on Sunday, but also to see it is a way of worshiping Him come Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Well, work is also rewarded by the Lord. You go to work and on the faithfulness of your employer that He's going to pay you. God promises to pay you. This is a scripture we read a while ago, Ephesians 6, 7, and 8. Serve wholeheartedly. Serve wholeheartedly. You get to. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. Not men. Because you know that the Lord will, what will He do? He will reward everyone for whatever good he does. Now, you have an employer that's going to pay you, and you trust that you'll get that paycheck. How long does it last? Not very long, does it? God makes a promise to you that He will reward you for the work that you have done, and it's an eternal paycheck. It doesn't evaporate. You think He's as trustworthy as your employer? Sure He is. Much more so that He will reward. If you ever wonder, what kind of reward I wonder will that be when I get to heaven? I read one theologian that said, I'm just kind of thinking outside the box, but did you realize that today that we're discovering more and more galaxies out there? It's just amazing how many galaxies that are out there and many more that we don't even know about. The number of galaxies now outnumber the number of people. They said, maybe our reward is when we get to heaven, God would say, I'm going to give you your whole galaxy. Take it and develop it. You've got all of eternity. Just to take that galaxy and develop it and allow it to develop you. There will also be, I hope this doesn't disappoint you, there will also be work in heaven. Do you ever wonder what you do in heaven? There will be work. How do I know that? Well, let's go back to the scriptures. Revelation 22, verse 3. No longer will there be a curse. Thank God there's no thistles there. There will no longer be a curse. In other words, work, the curse of it being difficult and tiring and wear you out, that will be gone. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will what? Serve. We will work. We will work. So what we will do in heaven is that we will work and something that is so enjoyable and so fulfilling, but will also grow. Think about this for a moment. Do you know everything there is to know about God? We're just got a fraction. When you get to heaven, do you think you're going to know everything there is to know about God when you get to heaven? No. You've got all of eternity. God is infinite. And for all of eternity, you'll keep learning and growing in your understanding this relationship with God. and it'll get better and better and better. I've met with people before. In fact, I've met maybe for lunch, and I think, oh, I never met them before, and they want to get together, and I think, oh, I didn't really much want to, but I go anyway. And as I get to know them, I am so thrilled. I'm thinking, oh, man, I want to meet again because I got to know them. And it grows, and you want to know more, and you want to know more, and you want to know more. When we get to heaven, we got all of eternity, and all eternity. God is infinite. You will never know all there is to know about God. But you've got all of eternity to grow, and the thrill of knowing Him better than you've ever known Him before. And you'll work. And I'm not sure all of what that work will be, but I know that it will be a joy. Some of you understand and know what it is to really, really enjoy work. Sometimes it's called a workout on the football field, and you love it. Sometimes it's a basketball court, and you go and you work out, and you say, I love it. You're doing something that is thrilling. Heaven is a place of work that we will grow and grow in that relationship, and we will get to work. I wonder what would happen if all of us this week will begin to see the connection between Sunday and Monday, that would be the connection between I have to or got to, and I get to. What would happen? I can just imagine some of your employers calling me now and saying, what in the world happened to the people there at church Sunday? You know as well as I do, when you're in a place of business, you can tell the people that are doing the things because they get to or got to. Did you ever have a teacher in school that you felt like they were there because they got to? Do you notice the difference between that teacher and the teacher that you felt like they were there because they get to? Big difference, isn't there? When you go into business this week and do anything in a customer-merchant relationship, and it doesn't take you but that quickly to realize they feel like they get to do this. There are some that you know real quickly, they feel like they feel, I got to do this. God made us as workers. He is a worker, and we're created in His image to work. And it's not a curse. It gets very difficult. It gets very challenging. But I grow. I've told you many times, one of the selfish reasons why I am here at this church is it's part of my growing. I would not grow. Is it easy? Not always. Is it difficult? At times. Is there difficult people? Not at all. Yeah, there's difficult people. Anytime there's people around us, but I know that it helps me grow. I get to do this as pastor of this church. I get to do this. I don't got to. I get to. And I don't know what God has worked for you, but it's something that even though you may not like it all that well, you begin to look at it as, God, I'm going to take this work this week, and as I go to work, I'm going to offer it to you as worship. As worship. Can you imagine what's going to happen when you do that? It's going to make every day come alive like never before. When you begin to see, I get to do this today. Let me pray with you. Father, I'm so very grateful that, first of all, you create us with abilities and talents, skills that we can develop. And I'm so very grateful to know that sometimes even when the labor is hard and challenging, that it helps me grow. But then it's also good to know that every day that I punch in, that I'm going to be rewarded. And I think the reward is beyond my full comprehension. But I know in heaven, I'm going to continue to work. It's going to be fun. I'm going to grow. For all of eternity, I'll continue to grow and develop and to know you better and to serve together. And just the joy of serving and doing things that will be fulfilling forever and ever and ever. God, I pray that for every one of us this week, whenever we have challenges at work, we just offer those and say, this is part of my worship, Lord. I'm giving this and offering it to you. And I'm so glad that I get to do it. I get to do it. I pray that you'll bless these people as they go out. Some are nearly in a vegetating stage. You know, they're not doing much. And they could be making a difference in someone's life, serving in some way. And you will reward that. You will reward that. I'm so very grateful for your faithfulness. We don't get to heaven because we work. We only get there because of our faith and trust in Jesus and repentance of our sin. But I'm so very grateful you allow us to work and worship, and that they become one and the same in the right spirit. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.